This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is Glenda Geek, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for August 22nd, episode 2253. Today is normally the Horse Husbands episode, but has been delayed a week until next Thursday. So I thought I would share with you the latest episode of the Finding Florida podcast that just came out yesterday. This is the one where Jemmy gets brave and tries trapeze school. Yes, she climbed a 40-foot ladder and sailed through the air. You will hear how she made out and how this went in this episode where we visit Sarasota, Florida. By the way, that's where Dr. Wendy lives, and there's a large horse community there as well. I finally have a long-sought e-bike tour, climbed a random treehouse, and hit one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. Add in some mouth-watering food, impromptu theater sing-alongs, new listeners, and old friends, and you have an amazing trip. If you've never listened to the Finding Florida podcast, then you are in for a treat, and it doesn't matter whether you're from Florida or not. Get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com by the end of the day today for tomorrow, and we'll look forward to joining you back here tomorrow with Jamie and the gang as we do some really bad ads on Freestyle Friday. Enjoy this Finding Florida podcast.
The Florida Podcast Network, the voice of Florida.
This is episode 20B of the Finding Florida podcast on the Florida Podcast Network, Finding Balance in Sarasota.
We hope you're ready for an adventure.
Welcome to Finding Florida, the podcast that takes you from country to the coast. Join your tour guides, an unlikely pair, City Girl Jemmy and Country Boy Glenn, as they explore the amazing sights and sounds of the Sunshine State.
Last adventure, we did a road trip with Freedom RVing to the Fort Myers area of the Gulf Coast. If you missed it, go back and take a listen to episodes 19A and 19B. One of the other things that Florida is known for is being a haven of winter homes. And one of the other famous winter homes in Florida is, well, it was home to the circus in the winter. And guess what? They hung out in the Sarasota area. So this month, Glenn and I investigate Sarasota, its circus heritage, its amazing food, and one of the top-rated beaches in the world.
And don't forget that the pictures and videos of all of our escapades for this episode are found, and you're going to want to see them, are found in our show notes at findingfloridapodcast.com and all our social media. We are bringing this adventure to you in two parts. Because Sarasota is so ingrained in the Ringling Circus history and heritage, we decided to break the Ringling Museum into its own episode, so that'll be in the next one. In this episode, we bring everything else we did in Sarasota, which includes Jemmy flying high
and falling low
amazing food, really fun people, and new experiences for us both,
and new friends. Not just really fun people, new friends.
And new friends. In the next episode, we will bring you the Ringling side of Sarasota, and we do have to thank Brittany and the entire gang over at Visit Sarasota for helping us put all of this together. She did a terrific job. So let's get this show on the road.
Sarasota invites you to discover the wealth of attractions that has made it a top U.S. travel destination, enticing visitors from around the world. Its unique blend of sophisticated amenities and beachy charm appeals to people of all ages and all walks of life. Visit Sarasota.org for more information about this remarkable destination.
So something I requested for this tour and adventure
and every tour,
Sarasota, and we finally got to do it, was e-bikes. And what's an e-bike? That's an electric bike. I always wanted to ride an electric bike. And
literally every tour.
Every time. 20 months now I've been wanting to ride an electric bike, and Brittany made it happen. So there's this really cool company called Endless Summer Eco Tours and Rentals, and we had an opportunity to meet Derek there, and he took us on our first e-bike tour, and it was fun. We made our way to Siesta Key. Now, Siesta Key was chosen number one overall on TripAdvisor's USA Traveler's Choice for Best Beaches in 2015, and has won a ton of other awards as the best beach. And it really recently went over a $21 million makeover with new renovations and historic restorations, and we wanted to see it. And what better way to see it than on an electric bike where we only had to pedal a little bit? I liked it. Let's hear how that adventure went.
And here's Glenn's highlight.
Throttle test.
Check, it works.
Yeah, let's video Demi doing the throttle test.
Nope.
We are about to head out with Derek to Siesta Key Beach, which I want Demi to see so much. And we're going to be doing that on electric bikes. What's the name of your company?
Endless Summer Eco Tours and Rentals.
Well, you're going to hear some of the Endless Summer very shortly as we're on our way out to Siesta Key. And we're going to talk after to find out how we liked this bike ride that I don't have to get tired on.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm following you. No, I'm following you.
You're going to be the caboose?
Yep.
Okay. And here's Derek, and we're on our way. Electric bike here. Oh, the pedal assist is so nice without even using the accelerator.
So there's going to be just a little bit of soft sand right here that we can just kind of walk through it.
Okay.
And then we're going to
Are bikes allowed during the day? Because I know a lot of beaches, they're only allowed at night.
They're allowed.
Yeah.
The rule is from 8:45 till 4:45 between the first blue lifeguard house and the last yellow lifeguard house. You have to get off and walk your bike because that's the public beach and it's congested.
All right. On you. Oh.
Look at the water, Jen. Yeah, oh, thank you.
There's a reason this is always voted in the top 10 most beautiful beaches in the world. It's because the water, as you can see, is just emerald. I mean emerald. There's not a lot of crap in the water like some of the beaches. Even down further south in Florida, we had a lot of stuff in the water.
Right, and in fact, we got mistaken. I mistook what I thought. I got so excited because I thought I saw a stingray just a few feet off. And it wasn't a stingray, but at least it wasn't garbage. It was just seaweed. So it's a beautiful, pristine beach. There's no, like, junk in the sand. People seem to really respect this beach. It's gorgeous.
I wanted Jemmy to see Siesta Key because we're on a little point here. So you can really see every direction. What's your website?
EndlessSummerSRQ.com.
From Siesta Key Beach. Say goodbye, guys.
Well, we are now back from our electric bike ride with Derek. And we did how many miles today?
We did almost 20 miles.
20 miles? Can you? When's the last time you rode your bike for 20 miles?
When's the last time I rode my bike? Operative question.
Yeah, neither one of us are riding for 20 miles.
No. And we are both dripping with sweat, but it wasn't for the effort required. No. These bikes are amazing.
These bikes are amazing, and we rode 20 miles, and I'm not tired. My legs are fine. So tell us about the bikes, first of all.
So the bikes are fully electric. They have a 5-level pedal assist system, so you can choose kind of your workload. You can pedal a lot, like a regular bike, or you can, as we did today, pedal not at all.
Yeah, we didn't do the a lot at all.
Yeah. You really can make it easy on yourself. There's also a throttle, so if you want to pedal literally zero, that's always an option as well.
We use that a lot today. I think you're going to find your batteries are down further than they usually are. No, but we went down to Siesta Key Beach, and there's a video on our Facebook page. Go to Finding Florida Podcast Facebook page, and you'll find that video. But it was so easy to go on the beach when you don't really have to, or when you pedal with the pedal assist. And what the pedal assist means is you're pedaling, but then the electric is kicking in and really pushing you along.
It kind of reminded me when we were in Daytona Beach and we got treated to a ride on the electric wheelchairs on the beach. And, you know, now I'm remembering how easy it was and how what a passion it was for that guy to do that for that reason, because it makes it easy. It was so easy riding these things with their big fat tires there on the beach. Well, except for one person who decided to show off.
Yeah, the only one
miserably
that took a spill today would not be me for a change.
Hey, at least
it certainly wasn't me.
No, but at least I found the right place to do it, right? The soft sand siesta key. There's a place to do
Jemmy had a very dramatic slow motion fall.
It was great.
So we both watched it. It was like slow motion.
Okay,
it was
so just... I was trying to turn around and I failed miserably.
She spun
out.
One of
the most graceful things I've ever seen. I must admit.
You spun out is what you did, actually.
So we did a bit of a different tour. You kind of crafted this tour for us. You saw that nowhere on our itinerary was Siesta Key listed, so you decided to make it your mission to bring us out to Siesta Key. But you do tours, different theme tours. Let's explain some of the themes that you do on your tours.
Sure. Well, our most popular experience is definitely the Siesta Key Sunset Tour.
Is that on the beach?
That is right on the beach.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It's amazing. And we meet about an hour before sunset. We ride the entire length of Siesta Key, which we didn't get quite to do today, but close to it.
Because you wanted to torture me on that bridge.
Yes. Yes. That was pretty funny, by the way. Yeah, so we ride the entire length of Siesta Key Beach and watch as the sun goes down. Creates just a picturesque environment.
Imagine on that one.
So
water.
Pretty. Oh, yes, beautiful. It's amazing. Yeah. And then we end with a little fresh fruit, cheese, and wine picnic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We do a few other theme tours, though. We do a wildlife tour. Forests and swamps and bobcats and boars and alligators is more your speed, then this is definitely the tour for you.
Wow.
We ride. It takes place at Myakka River State Park, which is just about 9 miles.
You're going to be there tonight.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yep.
It's just 9 miles east of Sarasota. It's amazing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you get more points for hitting a boar or for hitting a wildcat?
Boar.
Okay, all right. Just checking. That's a future reference.
Yeah, if you are out there and you find yourself on the business end of a boar, you go the other way.
The other way. You hit that throttle the other direction.
You have a better chance with the alligator. So, and do you do any in town? Any town tours?
We are in the beta mode for two right now. We are currently developing a historic downtown tour.
Oh, that'd be
cool.
Ooh,
very
be
cool,
great.
Yeah.
We tell kind of the history of where we are and why things the way they are. So really kind of dive deep into the history of Sarasota on that one. And then I am also an absolute foodie. Anyone that knows me will tell you
that. You're going to do a food tour?
We are coming up with a culinary tour.
Are you
going
to ride by and they're going to hand you the appetizer?
Yeah.
As we go?
Yes. Yeah, so for that, we're
drive
going
by fruiting.
To...
Yeah.
And here's the drink.
Yeah.
Here's the wine.
Yeah. Don't spill it.
This, by the way, we loved this. This was the highlight of my trip here.
It was a lot of fun.
And every family, how many can you take at once is my question.
So on Siesta, for the Siesta Sunset Tour, we try to limit it to about 10.
Okay.
It
gets so you have that many bikes?
Wow.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
We have 16 bikes total, and we will be getting 4 more within a couple weeks.
Well, and Jemmy and I are getting ones too, because those are really cool. Where can people find you to do the tour?
You can find us on endlesssummersrq.com.
Is there a reservation right online, or do you have to call?
Yeah, no, you can make it right online, although our phone number is posted on there as well if you want to give a call just in case.
It is worth every penny. This was so freaking much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You won't do anything like it. It's cool.
And
it's
you end up with really cool pictures.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much, Eric.
I've become quite the bicyclist photographer.
Yeah,
you are.
And you can see some of those pictures on our website at findingfloridapodcast.com.
Well, after our throttles must have gotten the biggest workout from our lazy behinds on those e-bikes that they ever have had in a long time. I mean, we were gunning it left and right.
And I don't know if there's a whole lot of pedaling involved. We had a whole lot of fun.
We might have raced on the beach a little bit.
Fallen a little bit, whatever. And so after riding around, we must have ourselves some showers and be sure that we head off to lunch at Michael's on East, where we're going to meet up with Eleni and Chef Jamil and get some good food. I cannot wait to try all this out and get our taste and our wine sampling on. You ready for this one, Glenn?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's interesting. We came to Sarasota, and one of the stops I didn't quite understand that we were going to be doing is a cruise ship. Aren't we on a cruise ship?
No, we're not.
We're not on a cruise ship. It just feels like we are. And we have made it to lunch at Michael's on East, and it is beautiful. And the room we are sitting in right now is the private dining area, which was built to kind of look like you're in a cruise ship.
See, Jemmy, I think they put us in here because we are underdressed.
We are under, they're hiding us away. No, it is all about come as you are. As Eleni will explain, she is the marketing representative for Michael's on East. Her agency works with them. She's going to explain to us where we are, why it is built the way it is built, and how special this place is, and how, yes, you can come as you are.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jimmy. We're so happy to have the Finding Florida podcast here at Michael's. This is such a special place to us, of course, and also to the community of Sarasota. I think any visit to Sarasota that doesn't include Michael's on the itinerary, you're missing out, because this is such a landmark in our community. The family here at Michael's gives back a tremendous amount to the community year after year. If you live here long enough, likely you'll have attended an event that's catered by the Michael's catering team. And of course, dining here at the restaurant is something that you can't miss. So I'm so happy that you're here. And absolutely not, you're not hiding back here for any other reason than audio. Because this area
is... loud. Yeah, she listened to our show. She knew what she was in for.
This area is a little bit secluded. There's a lush velvet curtain that separates this space.
Actually, this area is great for sound because there's so much. You said cruise ship. This has a 1940s speakeasy feel.
As far as restaurants are concerned around Sarasota, I mean, you and your agency work with a number of different restaurants. What is it about the scene in Sarasota that makes Michael's on East really fit in specifically with the restaurant scene?
Sure. So in Sarasota, as you'll experience, I know this is your first day here, but as you'll experience, we are a destination, but we're also a community. So there are so many amenities available to vacationers and to tourists, but you also have to keep the locals happy. Our community tends to be really seasonal. Peak season, of course, just like the rest of Florida, February, March. Dinner reservations here are a little harder to come by. But this time of year is a great time to enjoy, a great leisurely lunch like we're about to have. But overall, what makes Sarasota such a great culinary destination are the amount and the volume and the diversity of the people who visit this place. And so the restaurants that exist here need to offer something both to locals and to visitors. It's been here for 32 years. The doors opened in April of 1987, but not much has changed in the level of excellence as what's on the table and the folks who come to your table, your staff, the servers. The level of hospitality here is unmatched, and that's why we're still here for 32 years.
And you say not much has changed as far as the level of excellence, but I do know, and we will get into this with Chef, but I do know that the menu changes. So from a restaurant's perspective, how important is it to keep things a little bit fresh, but also keep the consistency of the tradition?
It's so important, especially in the growth cycle that we're currently experiencing in Sarasota. Restaurants are popping up every single day because of the flock of residents, new residents.
To talk about that a little bit, Sarasota is one of the fastest growing areas of the state.
And I think Manatee County, our neighbor to the north, which is my home base, is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation. A few years ago, I want to say second to Las Vegas in growth rate. Mm. So our area is experiencing exponential growth. With that, we see restaurants come, we see restaurants go.
Kind of like podcasts that way.
You know, the consistency is the most important thing. I think if you ask any restaurateur, of course, you'll hear from Chef momentarily.
You're definitely going to be
guaranteed a high-end quality dining experience, both from the food perspective, from what I can just see laid out in front of us. There's a beautiful wine flight.
Which ladies with you're holding me up from.
With food pairings and everything. But also, I can tell you right now, the service quality is excellent, you know? So I'm impressed by the staff already. We've been here 5 seconds. So this is, you're going to be guaranteed, it seems like a beautiful, wonderful dining experience. But again, it's comfortable. It's come as you are. I feel like, you know what it feels like? Again, going back to the cruise ship reference, we did a cruise adventure last year. And it reminds me of the nighttime dining, right? Mm-hmm. Where there is a standard of excellence in service and the food and everything. But you're coming off your day trip and all of that. So you're just coming in. So as perfect timing, here we have with all of our starters. So we're going to get started ourselves and really enjoy this flight of wine
that you're holding me up from. So
whatever. Enjoy this flight of wine and these starters. Thank you so much, Eleni, for inviting us to join you. We are excited to dive in.
Let's do it.
We are here with Chef Jamil of Michael's on the East, and I'm so excited. And this is a table full of self-starters, so I'm really excited to understand, Chef Jamil, your story and how you ended up here at Michael's on the East.
When I was in Miami, I was a dishwasher. Within a month and a half washing dishes, Chef goes to me and says, you're the pizza guy now. And that's how I started, helping everybody how to prep. And then from them, he's like, you know what? You get out of the pizza station, you're going to be in the saute station. And the way he told me how I was going to do everything, took sticky notes. So I had to cook while he was somewhere else. And that's how I learned.
You referenced your sticky notes.
And then he goes, okay, you know what? It's time for you to move on. I want you to be my sous chef. Within 4 years of me running around doing everything. And that's how I started. I did it all. And I'm an executive chef for one of the great restaurant.
One of the finest ones in Florida. Yeah,
Florida.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we're in the Hall of Fame of fine dining here.
What's changed in fine dining over the years, and why is Michael so special in those changes?
We have an Epicurean adventure. Epicurean adventure, we go all around the world, you know, here in the United States as well, and create cuisines. You know, if you're going to do a Greece, you're going to a Greek cuisine, we're going to do an Italian cuisine, a Portuguese cuisine, a Spain cuisine, which we're going to be doing next year. We're doing Singapore right now. All three dishes here are from those Epicurean adventures.
I challenge you to do a Haitian cuisine.
Haitian. I know how to do Haitian, good. and we did Island, which is what we always do.
Nice.
See, he already took your challenge. What are you talking about there, Haitian girl? Our little Haitian princess here.
How many years of Epicurean?
It's been I've been here 9 years, and I think it's been going for almost 15 to 20 years.
Yeah. I have one more question for you.
Sure.
Why do you like Sarasota as a place to cook?
Was there not to like the Sarasota? I mean, you got Siesta Key, you got Lombok Key, you got the city, which is amazing. You got the art, and that's the best part when you're cooking. It's the art.
It's funny because that's what Jemmy noticed when we were in town. She's first time here. Is the art scene here is incredible?
The art scene is incredible.
Performing arts and everything.
And in every dish that we show at Michael's on the East, you have to have art.
How has the community been for your experience here and
we're
fine dining?
The biggest advocate of community here. Everything that had to do with the community, we do. Charities, everything you can think of. Make-A-Wish is one of the biggest ones that we do here. Michael and Phil concentrate on that. It's their biggest thing is to contribute to the community of Sarasota and make this a greater place with the originals. And all the things that they do here is all about the community. It's all about showing a cuisine that is fun, mm-hmm. not something that you just come in and maybe have a piano guy playing until 9 o'clock. Everybody sings songs and it's just a fun.
That's because happy hour went till 9 o'clock too.
Well, I mean, you guys have done such a good job of making the dining experience just really high quality and everything. And you're talking about the piano player and all of that, but you know, I don't want people to feel intimidated. You know, this is definitely a come as you are kind of place, and you guys have done a really good job of creating that balance.
You know, the fun thing is the Epicurean menu. A lot of people think we're just too expensive. We do things that, the flights that we're doing right now, three different type of wines, three different hors d'oeuvres so you can taste at a low price that people can actually enjoy. The Epicurean Adventures, you get three meals.
Yeah, lunch was $19.95.
$19.95. I mean, that's how we actually try our new dishes, how the dish is going to work out for lunch, for dinner, for any of that. I mean, the pompano, the colony snapper, all the things are coming from the Epicurean menu. And just to show people that we do, you know, care for everything that we do.
That's right. And so right now the Epicurean menu is focused on Singapore. But as we get ready to wrap up, what do people have to look forward to? What do you have coming down the pipeline?
Well, we got Spain coming up.
Okay.
We got South Africa coming out. We got Southern Conference coming up. You know, it changes all the time. It goes from, you know, from New Orleans to Napa Valley to Greece to any imagine that has a beautiful cuisine. Well, there.
So I'm getting then from the interview that anybody who's local to Sarasota or visiting Sarasota, if you are into travel and or a foodie, that you need to put in your calendar a standing date to come to Michael's on East and try whatever's new on the menu from the Epicurean standpoint. So thank you so much to Chef. You know what? Glenn just gave me the mic so he could start eating. So I think that's my sign that his tummy is ready to go. So thank you so much, Chef Jamil. You've been a delight, and we can't wait to taste your food. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please share with us the website for both the restaurant and your company.
Sure. I will. I'll leave you with our social media platforms because that's the best way to really experience the Michaels day to day, a day in the life, if you will. So you can find us on, we love Instagram and Facebook, of course. You can find us michaels.on.east on Instagram, on Facebook, Michaels on East. You can see some of our catering events throughout our pages at the Selby Gardens, Michaels on the Bay at Selby, the Selby House Cafe. And we also have just launched a new Instagram called Married with Michaels, a testament and an archive of all of the gorgeous wedding photos of all of the brides over the years who've been married at Michaels. So our website, I love this fact, the very first restaurant website to exist in the United States, which is why we own the domain bestfood.com.
Really?
It is a fun fact. As a matter of fact, I was on the Internet Archive a few weeks ago and found an archive of our website from 1996.
And it as embarrassing as all of our websites in 1996?
You know, let's just say I didn't design it.
Just letting you know, I am now going to go into the Internet Archives myself and take a snapshot and look at it. Just let you know.
No, it's great. It served its purpose and it was innovative.
They were all bad in 1996.
Yeah, what can you ask for?
Color. But apparently colors.
Let's
were
just
in.
Say I'm already planning my April Fool's prank for next year.
Oh,
maybe a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great. Well, thanks
that.
And let's enjoy lunch.
Well, we had a fantastic time, ate way too much, and I may have drank more than Jemmy has ever seen me drink in one sitting.
You outdrank me. That's never happened before.
To the point where she actually questioned me driving, which has never happened before. I mean, you question my driving all the time, but not for that particular reason.
So, but luckily, we didn't have far to go.
No, we had like 2 blocks. So I managed to get there without wrecking into anything. And I didn't have that much wine, but for me, it was a lot of wine. I had to drink it. They gave it to us.
Just had to.
I didn't want to be rude.
But I doubled up on the pairings. Thank you very much for lending me yours. They were yummy.
Yes, you had a lot of seafood. And we both ate way too much. But then we headed off to the theater, which, as longtime listeners will know, is one of my favorite places. I spent a lot of time in the theater. I owned an acting company for 10 years. So when we got here to the Florida Studio Theaters, which is actually a conglomeration of theaters, I just had goosebumps, and I was in heaven the entire time. So we had a chance to talk to some lovely people, lovely theater people, and you're going to want to listen to this because we made Jemmy sing at the end.
Again. Come together, right now, for me. Well, we are here at the Florida Studio Theater, and we are so excited to have been invited by Lydia to come meet the three C's. Guys, they're the ladies holding all of this together, okay? So we're very excited. So we have the first C, who is Caroline, and she is in charge of the Children's Theater Program. Say hello, Caroline.
Hello.
And our next C is Carol, who is our guest cabaret artist. So hello, Carol.
Hello there.
And our third C is Catherine, who is our associate artist. So say hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, hello to the three C's. So we're very excited to be we're sitting here right now within one of the theaters at the Florida Studio Theater. And so what theater are we in right now?
This is called the Bounds Lab.
The experimental space.
Ooh, the sandbox of the theater.
Yes, yes.
I noticed they put us there. So
They're experimenting whether this is a good idea or not.
And home to FST's improv troupe.
Ooh, fantastic, which we've both had a bit of a background in. Glenn, a whole lot more than me. I did one little summer, but you were how many years?
10 years.
Ten years with...
You know why I did improv? Because I couldn't memorize lines. That's why.
Is that what you...
It's an excuse to forget.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that a common theme, a reason? I would be surprised. Okay, so let's start with Caroline. Please tell us about the children's program, because I was a little bit confused. I thought the children were going to be on the stage, but this is a bit different.
Yes, yeah, so children's theater for us at Florida Studio Theater is adults performing for children and family audiences. Florida Studio Theater, as you got to see earlier, has 5 theaters, and we really do pride ourselves on being a public theater, a theater for the people. And for me, that means even the tiny people. So the people ages 3 to 18 should have some entertainment and art to come check out.
I love that. Because, you know, I have a 7-year-old, which you didn't know, so I don't know why I said, you know. But I have a 7-year-old, and he, you know, he can see musicals and whatever on television, but it wasn't until I brought him to see Matilda on a live stage in a theater that his eyes really opened to the possibility. He could see that himself possibly even being in that place. It wasn't any more this, oh, this is something only on television. This is actually something I could feel and touch and maybe be a part of. Is that part of why you do what you do?
Absolutely. And here at Florida Studio Theater, for though your listeners at home can't tell, but this theater only seats about 100 people. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the front row, especially, you can stick your arm out and touch an actor.
Literally touch them.
and we want them to really feel like they're a part of the performances that they're seeing. So this is actually home to our summer show, which is called Off the Charts. And it's pop music from the 1950s to today for children and family audiences. So introducing that. And this will be home for some of our children's theater throughout the year as well.
And this has a very classic old theater. Now, it's smaller, but it has a very classic old theater look. This particular theater, it's really quaint. And I could see that show being in this theater.
Yeah. Yep. And when the kids come, they get placemats at their table. So we're sitting in table seating right now, like a restaurant, but you can still see the stage.
There's even salt and pepper and sugar and all that on the table. Yep.
They get some free popcorn. They get their activity placemat to color and do before they see the show. And they have an autograph box as well. So they meet the actors following the show.
Okay. Would it be
autographs.
Weird if an adult said that this is the kind of theater experience that I want? Is that strange?
No, actually,
that sounds awesome.
That's a big part of the theater here at Florida Studio Theater for Children, is that we don't forget the adults that have to come with them or that get to come with them. We want you to enjoy the show as much as the child that's coming with you, because it should be a positive experience for all people involved. You'd be surprised how many people see one show when they're in third grade and they don't like it and they never come
right,
back.
Right, right, right.
You would never go to the movies and see one movie you didn't like right. and swear off movies for the rest of your life.
Yep.
So we really aim for that positive experience for the whole family.
Is it getting tougher to get the kids to come out of the house?
Nope.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
No, because it's an experience. If it was just entertainment to be consumed, I think we would have a hard time getting kids to put down their devices. But when you make it an experience for the whole family to come to the theater, have the popcorn, do the activity, meet the actors, it's a whole morning
right.
or sometimes afternoon experience that's unlike anything else they do. So it's a heightened experience for a very low cost. So a ticket to our show is going to be $10 if you're just seeing one. If you agree to see 4 shows throughout the year, it's $5 per show.
I was just going to ask about how many shows do you guys have for the kids theater?
We have 5 shows throughout the year here at Florida Studio Theater for Children and Families.
Fantastic. And because,
that's what makes it a community theater too. It's affordable.
It is affordable. So we are a professional public theater in that sense. So mm-hmm. we're more affordable than even some community theaters in Florida. We price our tickets at a place that we feel as many people as possible can come to the theater. And with children, that is at the forefront of my mind, because it's not just the child buying
right.
the ticket. Unfortunately, an 8-year-old would not be allowed in alone. So they must come with
kids
a qualified adult.
Drop them off and go to the Nair's bar.
They're very mature in Sarasota, though. So.
So we know that you're not talking about one ticket, but 2 or 3,
yeah.
4, sometimes 5 or 6 for a whole family to come. So we want to make sure that it's affordable and less than the cost of a movie, ideally, to pull them away away from a screen and back into the real world.
That's fantastic. And so it sounds like you guys are really keyed into making the theater engaging, welcoming, unintimidating, but also creating an experience for people who are not used to being here, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And that here could not just be in the theater in general, but that here could be literally here. So next up is Carol, who actually traveled here. And so this is a totally different offering that we're talking about now, because now we're talking about the artist's perspective and how this theater offers opportunity to artists. So let's talk about how you're a traveling artist and what you're doing with cabaret here. It's so cool. What is cabaret and all that stuff? Yeah.
So cabaret, the definition of, because there's a lot of people throwing that world out there. But cabaret is storytelling through song in an intimate space. And Florida Studio Theater has many intimate spaces, which is so fabulous that they're able to run in season. They have several cabarets going on at one time. In the summer season, I think you guys have three throughout the summer. I was the first this year, and my show is called Come Together When the 60s Met the 70s. Ooh, so it's from
my era.
Yeah. All that great music. We're looking at 65 to 75 and kind of the stories behind the songs. So it's not necessarily like theater, in that there's, I'm playing a character, I'm myself, and I'm just talking about the songs and kind of just giving them a bit of background and then singing them in new arrangements with a band that's fabulous.
I just got done seeing a concert, John Fogerty.
Red Rock Amphitheater
above Denver. And it was the most unbelievable, speaking of that era, those songs, you talk about his songs.
Oh, yeah,
Creedence songs, right?
I closed the show with Down on the Corner.
There you go. There you he go. Sang that, and it was amazing because we were overlooking all of Denver at Red Rock Amphitheater, and he was down there for 2 hours. And by the way, he's 73, and he still played without a break.
So fab.
I mean,
I could do an entire show of CCR.
I bet you could.
I love CCR. They're fabulous.
You might be here a little bit later.
A big fan of CCR, actually. Their big hits album was like in constant rotation when I was in high school.
Absolutely.
True story. So, okay. So what does it take to put a cabaret program together? Like, how do you plan out what you're going to, what really moves you and how you're going to, is there an improv element or do you choreograph it ahead of time? Like, how does that work?
So what I normally do, I start with, first of all, the theme. I have probably about six or seven different shows that I take around, tour around, and have over the years. The one that I came to Florida Studio with 2 years ago was called Roar, and it was all about the music of the 20s and the 30s. Mm-hmm. So for this one, I started with a list that was way too long, probably all the songs that you know and love.
Yep.
And I had a hard time whittling it down. There's so many good ones. So I had to, you know, start to whittle it down, and some of it is the research behind the songs. So if I'm researching Tina Turner, you know, she's got so many hit songs. Which one do I choose? Well, I want one that will help me tell this story that I want to tell about Tina. So for instance, I do I've Been Loving You Too Long, which is the mm-hmm. Otis Redding song.
Yep.
But she sang it when she was on tour with the Rolling Stones. And I tell a story about her and Ike, you know, and that gives it context when I do it in the show. So it's about finding the right puzzle pieces for the songs that fit to give the show an overarching theme and movement, basically.
Clearly, there's a lot of there are a lot of diverse programs and offerings at the theater. Now, Catherine, I know that you, as we heard, wear many hats. So can you please explain what some of those hats are and how they influence all the offerings at the theater?
Sure. As an associate artist, you kind of touch on anything artistic. So I could be developing cabarets for our winter season, directing cabarets, working with new playwrights, developing plays, picking shows for the season. The list kind of goes on.
Yeah. And it's my job as a host to tease, and I'm going to say that you're going to hear Jemmy sing with her in a little bit, and maybe we'll do some Creedence. I think one of the things about Jemmy is we travel all the state together the last 2 years. She knows every word to every freaking song that's ever come on the radio. We went and saw a play at one of our stops of the 1940s, and she was singing all those words. So Well, sorry. So do you kind of act as a director then
yes.
to help with that?
Yeah. So I do artistic oversight in the summer when I have the three acts that come in because they're a package. So when they come in, we basically just allow them to kind of do their thing. And then we set the lights and the sound and we make sure they sound great. They look great. The transitions are there because every space is unique. And I have to pride ourselves on the fact that we're not just turning the lights on at the top of the show and yeah. letting them do their thing like a band. Now, this is a full, you know, theatrical visual experience.
Right. I mean, every element matters.
Yes, absolutely. And it's very important from the minute they walk in the door, from the minute they leave.
I mean, driving around, this is my first time in Sarasota. I haven't been here before.
Oh, wow. Great.
I'm a newbie.
Welcome.
So in driving around, one thing that's plainly evident is that performing arts is a big deal in Sarasota of all kinds, I've noticed. We were at Ringling this morning and here we are today. So, and I'm just doing trapeze tomorrow. I don't know why, but, but so
it was nice knowing you.
I know, right? So why do you think performing arts has grown so much in this community and become part of the fabric of Sarasota?
Well, I think what's interesting about Sarasota is that it's a tourism town. So you've had a lot of snowbirds coming down here for years and years and years. So you would cater to them in the winter months. They would go back home summer months. But at the same time, you have so many entrepreneurial spirits who have been here, the Ringling being number one. I mean, you've had the circus ingrained in this area. You've got the beaches
performing,
nearby.
Basically. Yeah.
I think it is also a connection of so many different kinds of artists know that this is a place where people travel and tourists to. So they know that they're going to do something more than just go out, you know, drinking and museums and things like that.
Well, then let me ask you, Carol, how did you first find out about the opportunity down here?
Catherine found me, actually.
Oh.
I believe from a venue in New York, you went on 54 Below's website and she saw a video of me there and then contacted me 2 years ago. And I sent in probably three or four of the shows that I had. And she said, I think The Roar would be a good fit. So I came down here and sang some 20s.
She said, I'm only coming down in the winter. And here you are in the summer.
No,
now.
I came in the summertime. Absolutely. I'm from Georgia. I can handle the heat. It's fine. I love it.
Before we hear Jemmy and the Three C's, it's a new group. Isn't that pretty good?
This is improvisation at its finest.
It's Jemmy and the Three C's. I love that. So where can people find the website?
Is this editable?
Yes.
Will this end up on a floor?
Well, it depends how bad Jemmy is.
Air.
You guys will be fine.
Will it be at the bottom of the cloud? Can you cut it to the... Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
I like that, the bottom of the cloud. I like that. That's pretty good.
All right.
Do you work with the improv troupe too?
I don't work with them, but I used to teach it when I was at SCF. So yeah.
You and I could have some fun.
Yeah.
So where can people find the shows? Where can they buy tickets?
Oh, well, you can get tickets online at www.floridastudiotheater, theater spelled with R-E at the end, .org. You can call our box office at 941-366-9000. And you can come by over here at 1241 North Palm Avenue in Sarasota, Florida. And if you just see a bunch of people out on the street, just stop and ask, and they'll point you in the right direction.
I truly have never seen a setup like this with so many theaters around the courtyard. It's just really cool. All right, now let's talk serious. Which Creedence song are we going to do?
Yeah, all right.
Do you know Down on the Corner?
You know the chorus.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner trying to bring you up. Willie picks a tune out and he blows it on his harp. Chorus. Down on the corner, out in the street, Willie and the pub boys are playing. Bring a nickel, tap your feet.
Yay!
Well done.
And just for clarity, the verse was Carol, not me. Thank you so much.
That was
fun. Down on the corner, out in the street, Willie and the pub boys are playing.
We just headed up the same road that we've been on the entire time we've been in Sarasota, and that's Tamiami. What is it?
Tamiami Trail.
Tamiami Trail. It seems like the only road in Sarasota is Tamiami Trail.
I was surprised there was a Tamiami. There's a Tamiami Trail down by me in Southeast Florida. So I'm wondering, could it possibly be the same one?
I doubt
one?
It connects unless it goes across Alligator Alley.
Weird, right? So, but yeah, we're on Tamiami Trail.
And every place we've gone has been off of Tamiami Trail. So we ended with you yesterday at the theater. Mm-hmm. And we are going to...
Down on the corner. That theater.
That theater. We got a concert. It was fun. And I enjoyed being at the theater. I really did. They have so many unique spaces in every theater they have. They're all tiny. They're all small. But they're so well done. And
yeah,
so
it was
well,
intimate. It wasn't a negative. It was intimate. It was so... I wanted to come in there and just hang out every day.
Did you notice the border around the stage where we did our recording looked like a Rubik's Cube?
It did. It did. And they were doing some murder mystery thing in there that night. I was like, oh, that's cool.
It was fun. We had a good time.
Improv murder mystery.
It brought back memories.
Yeah,
really
I'm sure. I'm sure.
One of these days we're going to be involved in a play or something.
We have to.
Now, I need no lines. I'm a mime.
All right, so
I'll
an improv play.
I need a mime.
Or at least a play with an improv character.
So now we made our way up
Tamiami Trail.
And we're almost in Amishtown, actually.
Well, tell people what we're about. What you're right, about to force and make me do.
You volunteered.
I did. I too.
Can't blame me.
I really did.
And we just arrived at the Circus Arts Conservatory, which looks like a big circus tent.
It does.
And we're here apparently with a whole bunch of children who are just carrying in a lot of soda pop. So
you might hear lots of children in the background. We have yet to see.
Yes, and Jenny is here because when I was planning this trip, she said, "Hey, Glenn, I think I'd like to do trapeze school."
I still don't know why.
Are you nuts?
And the answer still remains yes.
But I actually clarified, be honest. I clarified that you actually meant to do this before we set it up.
I really did mean to do this.
You have vertigo and you're afraid of heights and you want to do trapeze school.
None of this makes sense, yet I'm here because it just has always looked like so much fun. Looking at the circus stuff, this was always the circus act that captivated me the most. It just always looked like so much fun. Like they're like flying squirrels up there. I guess I'm about to go fly.
Flying Bungles coming up. And here's Jemmy's highlight. So we are now inside the Circus Arts Conservancy, and appears to be a party going on of kids for camp. How cool is that? That this is probably the one place in the country that you can truly come to circus camp, and it was the home of the circus. So that's kind of cool. There are a lot of kids here, probably 30. There are some adults here, too. And right now, Jemmy is in a trapeze class. They're doing stretching right now, which I wouldn't even have been able to do the stretching. So having just had shoulder surgery, that is why I am not flying. I'm off the limits. I'm off the case for that. But I'm going to try and give you kind of play-by-play as she goes through class here, and then we're going to interview Andreas, who is her instructor at the end, and we're going to talk about this because she's in a beginner class, so it should be fun. And you can hear the almost circusy music going in the background. But it is a big, big building. Looks like a tent. And it has trapezes everywhere. There are also clown bikes at the end, which I thought was kind of neat. Jenny has been harnessed up. They now have a harness around her waist, along with all of the other people in the class. She is not alone. And it does look like, from the instructions, they're going to be flying at about 30 feet in the air. She's most concerned about climbing the extension ladder, but they are going to be strapped in. They will have the wires on them the whole time on their belts. So, and there is a net, so that's good. I'll be back with more play-by-play from Trapeze School. So, Jemmy, we are here, and you've just had your pre-instructions on the floor about how you're going to lean off and fly 30 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most nervous about at this point?
Climbing the ladder to get up there in the first damn place.
Have you ever climbed an extension ladder that high in your life?
Never. And well, I never would. Other than
today. For Jemmy.
Fantastic. All right, let me hear the instructions.
Okay, bye. Okay, Jemmy is starting her walk up the ladder, which she was most terrified about.
All right, you got this.
Seems to be like she's strapped in already, so that's good. She is up on the platform. She is hooked in. She has now grabbed the bar very hesitantly. They are holding her. She is about to let go and have her first time swinging. And here she goes. And there's the scream.
Oh, next time when I say hump, you're going to let go.
I am?
Yeah. Do you want to take one more swing? All right, one more. Here we go. When I say hump, ready, hump.
Yay! All right, Jemmy. You swung many times. How was it?
The only reason I swung so many times, I didn't want to let go.
Okay, so what was the scariest part? You were a little shaky climbing the ladder, too, I noticed.
That was the scary... You just answered your own question. That was the scariest part. The second scariest part, I had to just tell myself, you gotta trust. You just gotta trust. They know what they're doing. You gotta trust. So leaning out, waiting for that... And then just letting go. I hate the feeling of dropping.
You were dropping.
The feeling was the worst. But then once I did it once, I think my body was like, okay, we're doing this now. And it was just fun. You heard me go from to
yeah.
And Andre even complimented me on my pointed toes.
He said, I know.
He said, did you used to do gymnastics or dance? I said, well, yes, I sure do when I was tiny.
Mission accomplished. We got you screaming for the podcast.
You did. I guess I'll get another turn up here soon. But first,
all right.
A bathroom break.
All right, here we go.
Ready?
Go, Jimmy.
All right, knees straight, knees straight. Legs up now. Go for it. Hands off now. Reach through your chest. Beautiful.
Yay! Well done, girl.
My gosh, my feet are firmly planted on the ground. I'm not sure if they're ever going to leave again, but yo, that was so much fun. Andres, yes. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
How did you get involved with trapeze and the circus arts?
The circus arts, I got involved by seeing one of my family members, my cousins, do the Salley Circus program. And I saw the show and I'm like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do.
Yes.
And, you know, being a latchkey kid, always home alone, like messing around with climbing trees and things. Mom's like, let's put you in the circus.
Let's train him a little bit so he's not going to accident prone.
Yeah. So and then I started the Salley Circus program in 96. I graduated in 03. And then from there, between 03 to about 2012, I just did small hand balancing gigs, played around on trapeze still a little bit. But then 2012, I actually started teaching. And then I traveled from here to New York. I've been to Saudi Arabia for circus acts. I went to Georgia, wow, to set up rigs, St. Louis, all over just to do circus. So while doing nursing school, I realized this is way more fun. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Kind of like us with podcasting. Whatever you're doing before, this is way more fun. Exactly. Well, one thing is, okay. So Jacqueline,
yes,
has a really interesting voicemail waiting for her, I'm sure.
Oh,
because I called her a couple of days ago and I said, listen, I know it says on your website that it's like for beginners, but just how beginner is
right.
Beginner? Because I'm super nervous. And
very
I
beginner.
Was so excited when I got here to see that maybe I'm not the only one who needs to be nervous. I mean, there were every kind of person,
yeah,
you can imagine was here today. And we interviewed literally the youngest and the oldest.
Very cool.
For the show. So what's it like to see, have people come in from all walks of life? Do people come in from all walks of life?
We say anywhere from 5 to 75, we will fly. And honestly, it's been 4 to 84. Like, it's just, we kind of set those parameters to make sure everyone knows. You can be any age, any skill level. You come right in. Never even climbed a ladder before. We'll teach you how to do that.
That was the most nerve-wracking part
I know,
of it,
right?
Was, yeah, just climbing the ladder because
I can't believe
shaking.
You climbed that. I would never do that. No, no.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's that kind of reward that I get from seeing someone who's never done it before actually make their first catch or even just their first takeoff.
Is, yeah,
just, it makes me feel like I'm doing it all over again for the first time.
What do you do to make people feel comfortable? Because when you, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to a trapeze class. It's a whole other ball of wax to come in here. See, how tall is the platform, by the way?
So, I mean,
the liftoff.
The truss system where everything hangs from is at 33 feet. So
okay.
I'd say that's probably 25 feet,
yeah,
around
20,
there.
20. Okay, so when people get up there and they realize just how high they are, if they have a fear of heights or if they're a little uncertain about how strong their body is,
right,
and all that stuff, like, what do you say to people to help get them over that hump and actually go for it?
You know, there's the general conversation we have, like, okay, you're always hooked up to a safety device. You're never just going to be free floating with no you know, instructions. And then if I am concerned for someone's safety as far as like their hand strength or anything, I'll have them actually just carefully step off the platform and not do a big takeoff.
Yeah.
Everyone seemed pretty able-bodied today, so I was like, let's actually do a real takeoff. But
yeah,
there's been situations where I'm like, just squat down really low and then step off.
Well, I thank you so much because, I mean, little Rocky gave me confidence, but you gave me confidence too. So thank you so much for what you do and giving more and more people the confidence to try trapeze and
Absolutely.
Just go for it.
Absolutely.
If more people want to come out and go flying, where can they find you on the web?
Circusarts.org. We'll have all of our classes and even our events listed. So if we have a show or anything going on, you'll see that as well. But all of our classes from trapeze to aerial silks to the U sampler for the little ones.
So we're still at the Circus Arts Conservatory, and Greg here is one of the new people that are joining Jemmy on the trapeze, and you brought, like, family along today.
I did. What we try to do, we have our two grandchildren visiting from Los Angeles.
Oh, cool.
So we every time they visit, you know, once a year, we try to do something special. And this was it.
And now you're more my age than Jemmy's age. So who talked you into this, or was this your idea?
Actually, I have to admit, this was my idea. I've had second thoughts.
Are you regretting?
But it's really fun.
We're not as flexible as we used to be.
No, not a lot. I'm certainly not.
But the kids seem to be having a blast with it.
Yeah, it's something different that, you know, we've obviously never done before. So it's a good challenge for them.
What was the hardest part for you, personally?
I think just trusting it.
Yeah.
Just trusting that everything's going to hold and, you know, you're safe. So.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because it even, you know, on the second one, I'm sure on the third one that I do, when I'm on the platform, my heart is just beating, you know, 150 beats a minute. And it's like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing here? So.
And then when you're swinging, it goes so fast, right?
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, good on you for doing this.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, we are here with John, who has brought, it's a family affair here at Circus Arts. His little one, Rocky, is doing way better than I did on trapeze. It is very impressive. Tell us a little bit about how Rocky got involved with trapeze and the circus acts and why he's in love with this stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a big tradition of circus in Sarasota. This
mm-hmm.
with John Ringling and his brother essentially founded the town.
Exactly.
All their money built this town. And so Sailor Circus or Circus Arts was once, when I first moved here, as part of the high school.
Oh, really?
This is like a course of study you could take.
Interesting.
And now it's more of an activity. And Rocky's always been a very adventurous little kid. And as far as sports or activities go, the only thing we make him do, because it's Florida, is swim. He's an excellent swimmer.
Good, good, yes, 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 yes.
And then we were driving past, when they were rehabbing this facility, the building we're standing in now, they had all the trapeze stuff outside, and we drove past, and Rocky just
said, his eyes lit up, huh?
He said, I want to do that. So Sonny called.
Did you say, are you crazy?
So Sonny actually called and tried to get him in the little youth sampler program where they do tumbling stuff on the floor.
Right.
And that was full the day we wanted to do it. But there was one spot left in trapeze. And they said, as long as he's not scared, and he's not the type of kid that gets scared, he can do it. So he came and he loved it, never hesitated.
Wow. What was it like for you to see him climb that ladder for the first time? Because that ladder's about 30 feet, and
yeah.
He's tiny.
he is. It makes it worse because he's so little. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 39 inches tall. So to see him climb a 30-foot ladder is a little frightening. But I think it was tough on Sunny. I think she was really worried
makes
about
sense.
Him.
Makes sense.
But, you know, he's tied in. The actual risk is really low.
Right.
And it's, as far as, like, confidence and balance and strength, this is a great activity for kids or for anyone.
Yeah, apparently.
As you know.
As I was saying to my co-host, Rocky gave me my confidence.
Oh, good.
Because I was like, okay, if a four-year-old could do it, please, dear God, let that mean that I can't do.
That's right.
And he's amazing. He's so excited. He actually names his own tricks. He gives him his own names and stuff.
His favorite sports are trapeze and ninja training.
Oh, well, he called one the ninja.
Yeah, he's invented a ninja trick up there.
That's
so
cute.
I don't know what it is.
Well, he is flying away. What does he say? What does he say he wants to do when he grows up? I can only imagine what little Rocky says.
Well, we tell him we're training him to be a jewel thief. But we we should probably stop doing
explain
that.
Explain that a little bit more. That's awesome. Well, maybe that explains why he has a little crush on the girl named Jewel. So. Because we understand he's a little bit of a ladies' man. I have seen it firsthand. Well, thank you so much, John. And congratulations for encouraging him to pursue his dreams and do something really, really fun and a great activity that is so unique and special to Sarasota. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I cannot believe I did that.
I cannot believe you did it.
I cannot believe. Not just like mentally, like that my brain allowed me to do it. Physically, I also cannot believe that I
you,
did that.
I have to, you know, we pick on each other a lot. Like, you know, brother and sister. But I have to say, I watched the video at least twice more since I even got, you know, since we did this. And you want everybody should go to Finding Florida Podcast on Facebook and watch the video of her doing this. And the video you're going to see is her the second run. She swung the first time and came out down onto the net.
Yeah, the first time was just the warm up.
Yeah, second time she's flipping around, putting her feet over the bar, hanging down, swinging around, and then does a backflip off.
I was ready to go.
And of the six or eight new people, you were one of only two or three that actually could do
that. I was the only one. That's what I heard. I heard I was the only one. I heard the other three girls who had done it, they were the
oh, that's
repeaters.
Right. You're right. Yeah. You may be right. The other, and there were some younger kids that couldn't accomplish it. I was so impressed with
and
you.
And I have a post-baby belly. I mean, 7 years post, but I have a post-baby belly. If it wasn't for that four-year-old Rocky going in front of me, none of that would have happened. None of it.
Then we made our way back to the Siesta Key Bungalows, where we had a chat to end our adventure with Gail Looper, who is the owner. So Brittany from Visit Sarasota set us up at the Siesta Key Bungalows, which seemed to be at the end of the road.
Bungalows.
At the end of the road at Siesta Key, and it is absolutely beautiful. This is so Florida, by the way. And these bungalows are so cute. They just remind us of the 1950s. Is that what they're supposed to remind us of?
Absolutely. They were actually built in the 1950s.
And they're still here. That says something about Florida and the way that we build things after how many hurricanes.
Yeah.
So these are so cute. And I imagine that people rent these because of the nostalgia of it. This is where what everybody came to when they visited Florida in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s.
And people love to promote us because they get that old Florida feel. And they remember that and they just want to come back and feel that when they're here. And it's very tropical. And it's 70 years old now. And they're concrete block, pink, and full of lush tropical foliage. And people just love that.
Do you get a good mix of people who come back, you know, generationally, right? And also people who are visiting like us for the very first time?
We do. We get a really big cross-section of people. A boy used to live across the street, and now he's a grown man, and he came and visited us. And a lot of the families on the island, we're sort of their overflow. They will send, maybe they only have two bedrooms, but they're having a family reunion, and they need and they need five bedrooms, so they use us as extra bedrooms, and then plus they have an extra pool, and they have free bicycles, free kayaks.
They send all the ones they don't really like, right, over to you.
All the relatives they can't stand.
That's right. I'm in the Tortuga, which makes me feel like I'm the queen because it's right behind the office. And I feel like I'm getting special treatment over here. And there's a back patio. It's so nice. And it overlooks this waterway. And I've noticed that there's a little dock you can go down and actually climb in some kayaks. Tell us about this waterway and this really unique feature of being able to take kayaks out.
Yeah. Well, you have a 180-degree view of the lagoon. It's called Heron Lagoon. And we have free kayaks down at the dock, which is right in front of your bungalow, actually. And it's a pristine waterway. It's beautiful. And we've had several guests. They catch 42-inch redfish out of there.
Oh, wow.
And they've got crabs. And we've seen dolphins in there and manatees. Wow. We've never seen any sharks, but I'm sure that, you know, there can be some.
So it's salt water, right?
Well, it's brackish.
Brackish. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's tidal water. Sometimes it runs south and sometimes it runs north.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You may have the room overlooking the water, but I have the biggest room.
You do.
No one cares about you.
You have the largest.
So just to paint a picture of this a little more. So these are like little cottage houses almost. I mean, some of them are adjoined on one side and then another side. And
some are freestanding.
It almost feels like a little
a tiny little village in the middle of nowhere, this pink little village. The ground is full of shells, and it's just, it is so cute. It's exactly what you think of when you imagine that vintage Florida postcard with, like, water skiers going in the background. Like, yes. This is what you want when you want vintage Florida. I love this place. So. And each of our bungalows has a full kitchen,
yes,
and a full bathroom.
They're all set up as apartments.
Which is so nice. I mean, you really feel comfortable, like you are on vacation and just in a different time for a few days or however long you stay. I mean, this really does take you back. I love this property. It's a really special treat right here on Siesta Key.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you so much. Where can people who want to stay come and find you guys? On the website or in real life?
Yeah.
At the end of the road. Just keep driving to the end of the road and you'll be right here.
Look for the pink bungalows on the right.
On the right,
yep. We are 1.5 miles south of the Siesta Key Bridge, and most people know the new daiquiri deck that just went in, and we have our
We're going to try that, by the way. We're going to try that on the way home tonight.
Speaking my language.
And we are south of that, and we're also on all the social media sites, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then we have our websites. One is bungalowbeach.com, and the other one is siestakeybungalows.com, and you can book online as well.
And go home.
So now it's time to do a wrap of this adventure. And don't forget that there's another episode coming where we spend the entire episode at the Ringling Museum talking about what effect Ringling had on Sarasota and the coolest miniature display you're ever going to see in your life. It was so cool.
Now, major shout out to our friend Troy, who went above and beyond. He's an FPN insider, and he actually emailed us a whole list of, like, fun, cool activities and things to do in Sarasota. And we decided to, well, why don't we pick a spot on that list to meet up with our listeners and friends for lunch one day. So I forwarded the list to Glenn, and then Glenn, what'd you do with it?
I picked out a train car to eat in because I thought that sounded like fun and something a little bit different.
And what happened?
I forgot to look at the hours of the train car, and I had everybody meet for lunch, and they were only open at dinner. So there we were in the parking
and
lot.
And honestly, it's questionable whether or not they opened at all.
Yeah, I know. It looked pretty empty.
Really not sure. But we drove up, and Nina and Katie were there waiting, and they were so cool about it. And actually, I can't remember if it was Nina or if it was Katie, but one of them made an awesome suggestion. They're like, well, stay with the train theme. There's this great restaurant called Station 400. And we went, and it was delicious and delightful, and it was so much fun hanging out with them. Nina's from Bradenton. And she's considering doing her own podcast soon about Bradenton.
And they're both listeners. Yeah,
they're both listeners. And Katie Jones, she's from Englewood. And she actually drove an hour to come meet us. So apparently we weren't the only crazy ones involved. She was also crazy enough to drive an hour to meet these crazy people. But I had so much fun meeting them and talking to them. Thank you guys so much for coming. That just meant the world to us that they actually came out and met us for lunch.
It was fun to meet them both. It really was. And
the food was so good.
I don't care how many listeners we meet. We love meeting you all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, you know, we've met quite a few over the years, but it's always so exciting to meet people who know a lot about us and we know nothing about them, but we get to know something.
It's exciting and weird.
Yeah, it is. It's both. But it never gets old meeting you guys.
Well, and it's just so exciting that people apparently still love meeting us.
I really had a good time on the e-bikes, but we've talked about that. That obviously was my highlight. But then, you know, one thing we haven't really touched on a whole bunch was the Florida Studio Theater and how you got off the hook of not having to lead the final song.
I sure did, because as soon as Carol started open up her mouth and that music came out of her with those pipes, I was like, I'm out. I'm out.
I am not singing at all.
I'm coming into the chorus, and that is it. But what was so magical about that moment was it was quintessential. You know, you're in the midst of theater folks when they can break out into music and all just instantly harmonize. I mean, these aren't ladies who just regularly perform together. Not in the slightest, but they were on it, and it was just it was such a, the energy in that place is electric, man. I want to go back over and over and over again. I loved
all of them at the Florida Studio Theater. It was such a great special place.
It really was. And it just brought back so many memories for me. You know, I miss the stage. Yeah. I really do miss the stage.
I think we need to come up with our own Finding Florida Acting Company, a traveling show.
I think you and I are the traveling show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Improv is its finest, people.
I think we really are. All right, I'm going to end this with one question.
Yep.
Would you do the trapeze again?
Yes.
You would? That's not the answer I expected.
I would. Let me tell you, when I was sitting there doing the stretching, all right, I was thinking, yeah, you know what? I actually remember what it was like to, I used to be a fitness girl. I was like, I remember, you know, it started to bring back the memories and stuff. And I've been so
you were a kickboxer.
Sore.
You did a triathlon
I know. That was way crazier than a trapeze, let me tell you. But I remember the joy of being physical like that. And so I'm thinking about, you know, maybe starting something here. I really want to do a segment, you know, on Florida fitness or something like that. So maybe I'll come up with some sort of gym or sponsor or something. Not a guy named Jim, like a fitness gym. who can possibly, you know, get me back in shape. And maybe we'll figure out a way to work it into a fun part of the show because, man, it was a lot of fun. If there was a trapeze place down here, I think I might just give it a shot. And actually, this girl, Erin DeJarnette, who I interviewed for Curve the Cube a long time ago, She's been in movies with Dolly Parton and stuff. She's great. Her mother reached out to me and said, hey, that looked awesome. Can you put me in touch with these people so Erin can go and try out the trapeze? We'll go up to Sarasota, try it out. And then she's going to try to include it with something with her like summer vlog series or whatever. So, hey, man, apparently I'm not the only one who's caught the trapeze bug. Other people are looking into it now, which is totally the goal of the show. And I'm so excited. So, yes, I would do it again. But only with Andres, because, yo, he was hot.
Well, that was the other thing about the trapeze place is they know how to attract teenage girl customers because the guys there were all hot.
It was just so obvious. Yeah. They all had crushes on these guys who were the coaches. It was so funny. I'm like, was I really like that? Yes, I would like that apparently as a teenage girl too, I'm sure. But wow, thank you everybody who helped us out, you know, Visit Sarasota County, Brittany Gerton and Eleni with Michaels on East. I mean, just everybody, Lydia for the Florida Studio Theater, Virginia at the Ringling. I know we're going to get to all of that next time, but, you know, and it's too bad we missed going on the floating tiki tours because the famous Florida weather, you know, but Christian, thank you so much. And, you know, Gail, I mean, I just could go on. So many people put this trip together and it was just a lot of fun.
It really was. And one final thing, it was a good food trip. You know, some of these adventures turn out to be not such good food trips. Special thanks to Dr. Wendy and Dr. Kyle, who invited us over for dinner.
Time.
And we had a great dinner there. Dr. Kyle's a terrific cook and we got to spend time with friends while we're in Sarasota too. So thank you to both of you. Also a podcaster, Dr. Wendy is one of my co-hosts on the Horse Radio Network. And you got to meet her ponies and her little goats, and it was a lot of fun. So thank you to them as well. Well, that's it for this part of Sarasota. Look for the next episode, which, as we said, is dedicated to the Ringling Museum and the effect Ringling has had on Sarasota. You can find all the episodes on findingfloridapodcast.com. You can see all of our pictures, and you want to see the video of Jemmy going whoosh, whoosh through the air.
Screaming, ended off going woohoo!
And you can also see the pictures of her falling on the e-bike. That'll be there too. It's a good thing you didn't fall on the trapeze, but you did it. You made it. I'm so proud. It's so much fun to see what we talk about, and we want you to be involved. So drop us an email at
Jemmy, J-A-I-M-E, at FloridaPodcastNetwork.com, or Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at FloridaPodcastNetwork.com. We want to hear your ideas. So if you want us to come to your town, if you have a great idea for your town, or if you want to send us an amazing spreadsheet full of awesome ideas, of which we pick the one that's closed like Troy did when we picked Bob's train, give us a second chance. You can email us a list of activities anytime. And you can find us and all of our shows everywhere where podcasts are found at floridapodcastnetwork.com. Lots of other shows on the network for you to also enjoy all about Florida. And you can continue to follow us, of course, on social media as Find FL Podcast. And please join us and our other listeners and friends in FPN Insiders on Facebook. But for now,
here's to your next Florida adventure.